calling of the first disciples, a story that you've probably read and heard many, many times. Is there anything new there? Well, let's see. Not only is it the calling of the first disciples, there's a little side note that I'd like to put in, which says God can restore the first calling. And we're going to look at that through Simon Peter's life, really. The fact that God called him in the first place and then restored that calling later. But let's not jump ahead. Jesus calls the disciples. He calls them from what they know, from where they're comfortable, from what they're used to, from what they thought they would always do, because they've got a business, they've gone into the business of their fathers, that's what they're going to do. They didn't think anything would change. And then Jesus came along and asked them to just give up everything and follow him. Quite a big thing. They had heard of Jesus, they'd seen Jesus. If you read some of the other Gospels, you'll see that some of them, Andrew especially, was around John the Baptist. So they knew about Jesus. They'd seen the things that had happened before this time. I always thought that this was just a very, and like a cold call. Someone just turns up and go, "Oh, you, follow me." And they went, "Oh, all right then." And I always thought, that doesn't ring true for me. And as I've done some more study, I've realised actually it wasn't like that, really. They'd heard a lot about Jesus. They'd seen some of the things that he'd done. They'd been around the people that he knew well, and especially John the Baptist, who was the one saying, "This is the one we've been waiting for." So Andrew, who is Simon Peter's brother, had been around when Jesus was baptised. He'd saw, he'd heard, he knew there was something about this man. So Jesus comes to them, they've just finished a night's work, and he calls them. Before we go any further, I just want you to think about, how did God call you? When did you first meet Jesus? What were the words, what were the feelings, what was the sense of what he was doing? How did God call you? Now I know some people hate this, I'm going to ask you to speak to each other. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to just share with the person next to you. Just a couple of things about how did God call you? Think back. What was the really pivotal moment that made you go, "Oh, okay, God, we're going to give this a go." You know my story through the book of Daniel, Daniel 3, where Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego were going in the fiery furnace. And their words to the king was, "Our God can save us. And you know, even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down to you." And that really challenged me to think, can I actually trust this God? If they could trust him with their whole life, could I trust him? Maybe just a little bit to start with. 30 odd years later, I'm still learning how to trust God. But for me, the pivotal point was, Lord, do you trust me? Do you trust me enough like these people that you've read about? So what is your pivotal moment? What was it that really hit you and made you think, I'm going to give this a go? Okay, a couple of minutes each, have a little chat, and then we'll come back. Little bits of things. It may be that you, Maggie will ignore me, that's fine. It may be that you're someone who's been brought up in church and there wasn't any definite pivotal point. It was just a drip, drip, drip. That eventually you look back and you go, oh, yeah, I can see that gradually I was working this out. Or you could have been someone like me who had no church background at all. So it was all very sort of, whoa, this is something else. Or you could be somewhere in between. The great thing is that God comes and he calls us as individuals. He has an individual way of speaking to us because he knows what's going to touch our hearts. He knew for me that trust was a big issue, that I didn't trust people. So what he was saying was, well, give me a go. Come and see if I'm different to everybody else. So that's very important to me, this whole trust thing. For you, it'll be something completely different because we're not the same. He knows how to speak to us. Jesus called these men to become fishers of men. So he didn't push aside what they already knew and said, you're going to forget all of that and become completely different. He says, I'm going to take you as you are, and I'm going to use the gifts that you already have, but I'm going to show you what I can do with them that's even bigger than what you think. I'm going to take everything about you, and I'm going to make it into something amazing. Even all the worst things, even the bad temper, even the doubt. Think of all the disciples, even the desire for money above everything else. Jesus says, I can change that. I can use that. We'll start where you're at. God calls us in a very specific way. I've got to nod. He goes and meets them where they're at. They've been out fishing. They're busy mending their nets. They're probably quite tired. They've been busy all night. And Jesus says, come on, follow me. I've got other plans for you. When we went to BCM's AGM a few weeks ago, I was really quite challenged and inspired by Rupert Abbott's message. And his message was entitled, Living on the Edge of the Inside. And when he said it at first, I went, what's that mean? And as he unpackaged it, I went, oh, I get it now. I understand. I understand what you're talking about. As Christians, we're living on the inside. We're on the inside of God's grace and God's mercy and God's love. We know so much about him. We've had so much experience of him. It's fabulous. It's a good place to be. But there are so many people on the outside of us. So many people who don't yet know anything about God and about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit, about forgiveness, about love. We could go on. That they live their lives full either of emptiness or guilt or resentment or bitterness. And that's not what God wants for anyone. So we are called to live on the inside edge. We're on the edge so we can reach out. And when Rupert was talking about this, it just reminded me, can't quite see it up there, reminded me of penguins. And penguins huddle together in the Antarctic to keep warm. They will huddle together. And there was videos and all sorts that I could have shown you. They've done time-lapse videos, and to the naked eye, it looks like the penguins stand still. But they don't. They're just constantly moving. And they're constantly moving towards the centre to then come back out again. They take their turns on it being on the outside of that inside edge. They take their turns of the cold and the danger and everything. But they have to come in as well. Because if they stayed out there for too long, they would die. And their eggs would die as well. They hold the eggs on their feet underneath a furry pouch. They've taken a camera and put it in the middle of these penguin huddles. They've disguised it as a penguin and an egg and all sorts. And they've found out amazing stuff. Like, right in the middle, there's a nursery where all the young chicks will huddle together. They don't move to the outside. They're not expected to face the dangers and the cold. And isn't that a bit like church? God calls each one of us, but some of us need to spend a bit more time in the middle than others. For whatever reason, we're maybe just new to the faith, or we are a bit weaker and a bit vulnerable, and we need the protection of everyone else. But those of us who can need to make sure that we take our turn on the outside, so that we're on that edge reaching out, so that we've got the chance to speak to people, to show people Jesus, to show them a different way. One of the things that touched me before I was a Christian was that the people I met who were Christians had a different way of life. It was so different to mine. And I just was overwhelmed by this. And it was that drew me in. And for us, just being on that edge might be the thing that draws someone a bit closer, enables them to see that there's something different for them. But we all still need time to go into the centre. We need to come into that centre to experience God's refreshing, encouragement, his strengthening, his love again, so that we can then go back out. We all take our turns. So that was the thing that really struck me, that the disciples were called to live on that edge of the inside. They were called, yes, to be close to Jesus. Jesus' first words to them was, come. Come to me. Come follow me. So he calls them to come to him. And once they're ready, he then says, all right, I need you to go now. You need to go out. You need to share these things that I've shown you. So let's just look at four different aspects of this passage, really. This whole idea of being fishers of men. But we could relate it to lots of different things. So whatever's relevant for you, then take it. So they're called to be fishers of men using what they already know. They knew how to fish. They were good fishermen. And Jesus said, I will take that and I will use that. So let's compare Galilean fishing and then fishing for men. The first thing, it takes careful preparation. Daily, they have to wash and fix their nets. If they don't do that, they're going to start losing fish, and then they'll start losing livelihood, and it's not going to be good for them. So daily preparation, looking after their nets. What about for us? We need some daily preparation, really, in the Word and in prayer. We need to keep that relationship with God open and clear. We need to find out what God wants to say to us each day, so that we're not sharing out of an emptiness, or we're not sharing out of something that did happen a long time ago. Yes, it's good to look back, and that's why I've made you look back this morning. It's good to see where we've come from and what God has done in our lives. But he wants that to be a constant daily thing, that he speaks to us, that he gives us the things that we need. And we only will get that when we come to him. So daily, we should be looking at the Word and praying. And just remember, prayer is not about me talking. It's also about me listening. So it's listening to God as well as talking. Second thing, cast the nets all the time. Luke 5:5. Jesus is telling them to cast the nets, and Simon goes, oh, but we've done it all night. And we've caught not a sausage, which had been a miracle because they were fishing for fish. But they've caught nothing, absolutely nothing. And he goes, oh, okay, because you've said it, I'll do it then. Isn't there times, and I've just suddenly remembered the story that Deanne told us at Holiday Club, isn't there times when we do something and then God asks us to do either go back and do it again or do something else, and we go, oh, but I've just done that. It didn't work. And God says, cast your net. Go and do it again. Let's see what happens. So we need to cast our net all the time. So even if we think we've done enough, we need to listen to what God is saying and then respond to that. We need to be a church that is willing to go. Now, that go might be to the other end of the world. It might be to Belgium. It might be to your neighbour next door. How far that go is immaterial. When Jesus asks us to go, we need to be listening to where he wants us to go to and how he wants us to share. So cast our nets, even if you think you've done it all. Cast your nets. Do it again. Do it again. Thirdly, it was really hard work. They didn't have any pulleys and machines to pull up the nets and things. It was all done by hand. The boats were quite shallow as well, so they would often tip over. It was really hard work, day or night, mostly through the night. They had to keep working. Again, verse 5 of chapter 5 says they'd worked all night, and they'd worked hard all night. They weren't just sitting around enjoying the views. They were out there working. It's hard work, and it's going to cost. Jesus says, don't say you're going to follow me and then give up and think, oh, it's too much. Count the cost. Count the cost before you decide, because I want your heart in it. I want you to be willing. So there's a guarantee, yes, that Jesus will be with us, but that it's going to cost us. It's going to hurt. It's going to be hard. But our eyes are on that bigger goal. Our eyes are on eternity and what's to come. And then probably the biggest part for me, in verse 7, they had to call their partners to come and help. It's a team game. Last week we were challenged to think the fact that every single one of us is important within the life of this church and within the life of God's kingdom. Every single one of us. We've got no time for falling out. We've got no time for wanting our own way. Because if that starts to happen, it means we're going to lose people. In the same way as when they were fishing, if one of them went, well, I don't want to hold that bit of net today. I've had enough of holding that, but I want to be down there and let go of it. The fish have gone. The fish aren't going to wait around and go, well, let's see what they decide, shall we? No, they're off. Wherever God wants us to be within the church, again, we need to be willing to do that. Whatever the role is, whether it's we're on the door, whether it's cleaning up after the coffees and things, whether it's coming in and sorting things out before different events. Being up front is not always the most important job. I always told the children at school, don't think for one minute that the teachers hold any power or authority in school. The cleaners and the janitors and the caterers are the ones who've got the power. Because as soon as they're not there, the school shuts. If the teacher's not there, they tend to get other people in. So we're quite easy to replace. In lots of ways, the people who stand up at the front are not the most important. It's the people who do all the stuff behind the scenes. People who make sure that this place is open for you and it's warm, that the chairs are in the right place. People who shut up afterwards to make sure it's safe. So don't think, well, I can't do anything, because there is so much that each one of us can do. One of the verses that's been going through my head a lot in recent times is, don't despise a day of small things. Don't think that if it's not a big event, if it's not a big activity, if it's not a big role that I'm doing, that it doesn't count. Because it does. When we looked at, when they were talking about the church being like a body, and it says, but isn't it the things that we hide and put away that are actually the more important? You know, if you've not got your toes, you struggle to walk. And yet we take them for granted. So don't despise little things. God's looking for our heart. He wants our heart to serve him. There is always a purpose to God's calling. I'm not quite there yet, but I'm always being told that there's no retirement in God's kingdom. So if you're sitting there thinking, well, I've done it for 40 years, that's it, I can sit back now. My message to you is I don't think so. Because you are needed. Your experience, your walk with God is needed for those of us who are a bit further back along the line. Every single person needs to be aware of what they can do and in doing it. And that is about seeking God for what he wants. Jesus calls each one of us to come. He says, come and follow me. Come and see what I'm doing. I'll show you how to do things. And then he says, go. Go and share what I've shown you with those who don't yet know. Over the last 3 weeks, for me, it's been quite evident that God has been saying some clear things. He told us that he was speaking. And he said, are you listening? Last week, I felt very strongly that he was saying, I'm doing things. Can you see it? This week, I feel that the statement is, I'm showing you things. Come and join me. Come and join in with what I'm doing in your community, in your church, in your family. Come and join in with me. And then after all that Peter had experienced, if we turn on to John 21, I think it is, where Jesus meets Peter after he's denied him. Peter has seen amazing things. He's seen Jesus do fabulous things. And it starts off John 21, where they're fishing again. Peter's decided, well, it's all gone a bit wrong. I thought it was the right one, but I don't know. I'm going to go back to fishing, because that's what I know. I'm comfortable at fishing for fish. I maybe wasn't so good at fishing for men. So he goes back and he starts his fishing. And then all the rest follow him. They, oh, well, we'll come too, because we know what to do there as well. Jesus appears to them. He set a fire on the side of the lake. He calls them to come, and they come in. And he starts talking to Peter. Peter denied Jesus around a fire. Jesus was about to reinstate him by a fire. It's not that he said, you know what, Peter, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you did. I'll just ignore that and we'll just wipe it away and I'll just get on. He says to Peter, I forgive you for it, but let's look at it. Let's work through this. And sometimes when we get things a bit wrong, I do it all the time. Fortunately, God comes and says, okay, I saw, I heard, I understand. But what I want to do is I want to reinstate you. I want to take you back to that first calling. I want you to see that your failure is not the end, because my grace and my love and my mercy are bigger than anything that you would ever do. Any failure at all. I'm bigger than that. God doesn't just call the equipped, though. So you might be thinking, well, actually, I'm not very good at anything. I can tell you that's a lie, because there will be something that you're good at. So you might think that there's nothing that you can do. That doesn't stop you being part of God's plan. God's plan for this place at this time. He has brought us together for a purpose, to encourage and help each other and to reach out to our community. It needs to be twofold, like the penguins. There is a time for being in the centre and being cared for and being looked after, and then there is a time to go out to the edges a bit, as far as we can get, and to start to reach out. So God doesn't just call the equipped. He actually equips those that he calls. He will give us all that we need for whatever task he has for us. And like Peter, we can be reinstated and then go further. In some ways, Peter maybe never would have been the man he was without denying Jesus. Because he knew the heartbreak of doing that. And I'm sure he was never going to do it again, as far as he could. So it made a difference in his life. And Jesus gently, gently brings him through it. And I was talking to some children at Cockshott Hill, an after school club, and we were actually doing this passage. And I said to them, can you see anything relevant here between Peter denying and Jesus' words to them? And of course they couldn't, And I said, what about the number three? And they went, oh yeah. And three times Peter denied. Three times Jesus asked. And I asked one of the, well, I asked all of them, and one of the wee girls said, do you think that was maybe just so that Peter realised that, Jesus wanted to know if he really, really, really loved him? It was, yeah. He wanted to make sure that his heart was right, that he understood. God has a purpose and a plan for every one of us. Doesn't matter how much we failed, fortunately, because Jesus forgives us time and time again. And as we've been hearing over the last few weeks, the grace of God just goes on and on. And on. And that is amazing. We have such good news to tell to those who think that their life is finished because of a mistake, because of a failure, because of whatever. We can tell them that no. Because Jesus can take a broken and empty and what appears to be a finished life and give it purpose and make it into something that's not just what it was, but what is even better. Let's pray. Lord God, I want to thank you for your total love. Your love that is beyond anything that we can understand at all. And thank you that you reach out to us, that you call us to come close to you so that you can minister, so that you can strengthen, so that you can just love. But then there's always the request to share all that you've given to us with those around us. Father, encourage us this day, this week, as we seek to share your love, your grace, your mercy, your peace with those that we come into contact with. Again, give us the eyes to see, the ears to hear, and a willingness to step out for you so that others get to know you too. Amen.